people are very comfortable with mediocrity. However, Skip Heitzig points out that God has much bigger plans for us.
A nation is simply the expansion of one person's life to great proportions. The expansion of one person's life to great proportions. And I think God wants to do that with each one of us. It is good to stop and evaluate and ask questions like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Am I here on this earth merely to make a comfortable living? Merely to breathe air for 70 or 80 years and wear clothes that look good on me and then die? Is that my purpose? Not according to God, it's not.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Not long ago, the ACLU helped a Christian student win a case against her school district, which unlawfully removed her quote from the yearbook just because it contained a Bible verse. The verse was Jeremiah 29:11, which, as you may remember, says, "For I know the plans I have for you." The case illustrated just how little people understand about the rules concerning Christianity in school. But today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig focuses more on the promise of that verse than where it was shared. Before we begin, though, we wanted to share a letter we recently received from Winnis in South Carolina. And she says,
Pastor Skip Heitzig, every Saturday I look forward all day with great expectation to 9 p.m. Eastern Time for your live service over 89.5 Christian Satellite Network. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with you in that large gathering and also with me alone in my bed. I am 79 years old and confined to my bed most of the time because of ill health. Thank you for sharing God's precious word in such a real and intimate way. God bless you. Winnis, your friend from South Carolina.
Well, thank you, Winnis. Sure is encouraging hearing from you today, and we'd like to send you Pastor Skip's Daily God Book as a thank you. And if there's something you'd like to share, all you need to do is write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And who knows, your thoughts may end up encouraging a lot of people as we share your letter on the air. Or you can always send us an email at info@connectionradio.org. You know, God had big plans for Abraham, just as He has big plans for everyone, whether you're graduating from high school or entering retirement. We'll learn more about what that promise means for all of us in today's study, which we'll get started here in just a moment.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into
Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, and Skip Heitzig will get our study started today by sharing a story that shows some of the hazards of bargaining with God.
I'm going to begin by reading you sort of a different spin on creation. On the first day, God created the cow, and God said, "You must go to the field with the farmer all day long and suffer under the sun and have calves and give milk to support the farmer. I will give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, "That's kind of a tough life you want me to live for 60 years. Let me have 20 years, and I'll give you back the other 40. God agreed. On the second day, God created the dog. God said, "Sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. I will give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, "That's too long to be barking. Give me 10 years and I'll give you back the other 10. So God agreed. On the third day, God created the monkey. And God said, "Entertain people. Do monkey tricks. Make them laugh. I'll give you a 20-year lifespan. The monkey said, "How boring. Monkey tricks for 20 years? I don't know. The dog gave you back 10, so that's what I'll do. Is that okay? And God agreed with him again. On the fourth day, God created man. God said, eat, sleep, play, enjoy. Do nothing, just enjoy, enjoy. I'll give you 20 years. Man said, what? Only 20 years? No way. Tell you what, I'll take my 20 and the 40 you gave, or the cow gave back, and 10 the dog gave back, and 10 the monkey gave back. That makes 80. Okay? Okay, God said, you got a deal. So that is why for the first 20 years we eat, sleep, play, enjoy, and do nothing. For the next 40 years we slave in the sun to support our family. For the next 10 years we do monkey tricks to entertain our grandchildren. And for the last 10 years we sit in the front of the house and bark at everybody. There you go. Welcome to life. Now, I shared that story for a couple of reasons. Number one, because the dialogue toward the end of this chapter is sort of similar in its bargaining approach, as you'll see. And second, because God has a greater plan for your life than that. God has a greater plan than that. We have opened midway tonight in our chapter. We remember from last week, an unusual scene. Three visitors came to Abraham in the heat of the day. It's a strange scene because one of them is called the Lord and exhibits characteristics that only God could. Two of them seem to be regarded as angels. We get that from following the story on into chapter 19, which we already did, just to give identity to it. But all three of them are disguised as men. These visitors come. Abraham feeds them this great meal, and now he shows them out. And I take you now to verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. These four walk eastward toward the Dead Sea, facing the Jordan Valley. In front of them are the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They enter into a dialogue, a very, very interesting one. I'm calling this message, Have I Got Plans for You? Because though there are themes in this closing paragraph, great biblical themes, righteousness, wickedness, justice, those are oft-repeated words in our text, there is an overarching theme of purpose, plan, God's plan for Abram's life, publicly, privately, and prayerfully. And we're going to look at those three slices as God gives to this man what his plan is. Whatever plans your parents had for you, whatever plans you have made for yourself, you need to stop and ask, what is God's plan? What does he want? Especially if you're a believer tonight and you recognize your life has been purchased at a great price. Paul said, you don't own yourself anymore. The great thing is to discover what God's plan is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Life isn't an accident. You're not a fortuitous occurrence of accidental circumstances. Your life has purpose, a plan. Back at the Cove this week, on one of the nights, They decided to show that film clip from Chariots of Fire. They showed about 5 minutes of it, the whole scene that happens to be my favorite scene. I've told you about it before. It's where Eric Little, the star of the movie, the Olympic athlete, makes this decision of what to do with his life. He wants to run in the Olympics, but he also feels like God is tugging his heart toward China. He and his sister Jenny are on a hillside overlooking one of the cities in Scotland. And he says to her, Jenny, I know God made me for a purpose, for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I love that because it gives such a focus to life's purpose, plan. Could I say that? Could you say that? What is God's purpose and plan? Well, let's read a couple verses down, and I'll give you those three chunks. God first reveals his plan for Abraham publicly. Publicly. That is, he is to be an instrument of God's blessing. Verse 17 continues. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." God asks a question. And when I read it, I asked a question. I asked, who is he talking to? Is he talking to himself? My dad used to say, I like to talk to myself because I like to hear a wise man talk, and I like to talk to a wise man. And so is this some inner Trinitarian communication? Or is God simply stating this out loud in the presence of these two messengers whom in chapter 19, verse 1, he dispatches toward Sodom? Or is he rhetorically asking the question out loud in the hearing of Abraham to bring focus? I think all three, perhaps. He's saying it out loud. Maybe he's saying it to the compadres who are with him. But obviously, it's in the presence of Abraham, because after God speaks his peace, Abraham is prompted to say something, which we'll read. It speaks of Abraham's public purpose. He's going to be great. He's going to be a great nation. And we see it happen. He goes from a little group of Abraham and Sarah to Abraham, Sarah, and Ishmael to eventually Abraham, Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac to a tribal group and eventually to an entire nation. And eventually, as we have already seen in previous studies, all of the Jews and all of the Arabs, millions and millions of people, will be able to trace their lineage to Father Abraham. But here, God is zeroing in on one particular nation. And that is through the promised seed of Isaac, the son who is to come. He's zeroing in on one particular nation, the nation of Israel. Now, I've often said that God has a sense of humor to tell an old man with an infertile wife that he's going to be a great nation. Not just are you going to have a kid, you're going to be a great nation, something that was inconceivable at that point. The nation of Israel is an amazing land and an amazing group of people. I've been there 26 times now. I lived there for early part of my stay when I was in my 20s, lived on a kibbutz. It's an amazing place, and God has uniquely blessed the Jews. The Jewish nation, the Jewish population, comprises 1/10 of 1% of the world population. 1/10 of 1% of the world population, and yet the Jews have received 33% of all Nobel Peace Prizes historically. And they hold 30% of all the awards in music, science, and literature. Albert Einstein marks as one of their most influential. Great strides and accomplishments like the Wasserman test for syphilis digitalis discovered by Dr. Nusslin. A chlorohydrate to treat convulsions discovered by Dr. Liffreich. Streptomycin discovered by Dr. Abraham Waksman. A polio pill by Dr. Sabin, the polio vaccine by Jonas Salk, James Watson and Francis Crick awarded for their DNA model. Blessed group of people, and the world has been blessed through them. It's also a very miraculous nation. The nation of Israel has survived after 400 years of slavery, after two deportations and destructions, after 2,000 years of being dispersed around the world, and a Holocaust and an Inquisition. Jerusalem has suffered 36 wars. 17 times she's been leveled to the ground, 18 times she has risen from the ashes. Why? Well, God made a covenant with Abraham, didn't he? And he said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people." Remember, 1/10 of 1%. "For you were the fewest of all the people but because God loves you. I've always been interested in that. Basically, God says, you know why I love you? Because I love you. And that's all the reason I need. It's not because of you. It's not because you're great. I love you because I love you. If you're a parent, you can relate to that. You're looking at a face that only a mother can love. Because there were times where I disappointed my parents. My mother was there to shower discipline, yes, but always love. And here's God saying to this nation, I love you because I love you. And that was God's public purpose for Abraham. This great nation would arise. So Abraham could say, God made me for a purpose. Of course, he wouldn't use a Scottish accent, of course. But the purpose was that he would be a great blessing to the world. Now you might ask, well, that's great for Abraham. Congratulations, Abe. You're a great guy. Well, what does that have to do with me, Skip? Because chances are I'm not going to become a great nation. Well, we've noted something. If you would remember back to our second study, that a nation is simply the expansion of one person's life to great proportions. The expansion of one person's life to great proportions. And I think God wants to do that with each one of us. It is good to stop and evaluate and ask questions like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Am I here on this earth merely to make a comfortable living, merely to breathe air for 70 or 80 years and wear clothes that look good on me and then die? Is that my purpose? Not according to God, it's not. Can you say God made me for a purpose? Do you know what that is? Does it even matter at all to you? You see, a lot of people live their life without really coming to grips with that. It's sort of all self-centered. It's self-focused. They don't think about what is the great purpose for my life publicly, but what about me and what about my needs? It's been well said that a person who's wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. Abraham had a purpose, and it wasn't to live a self-centered life, but his life would be a blessing to others. It's interesting that these four gentlemen stood on a ridge overlooking the Dead Sea and into the cities of the plain. The Dead Sea itself is interesting. It's, of all bodies of water on the earth, one of the most unique. It's unique for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the lowest spot on earth, 1,290 feet below the level of the sea. But number two, it's unique because there are no outlets in it. Plenty of water comes in every day, in the north from the Jordan River, on the east from the Arnon River, on the west from the Kidron River, but it lets out no water. Consequently, because of its constitution, there is no organic life in the Dead Sea. You'll find not one fisherman. It's dead. And that's because it takes in water, but it doesn't let anything out. Many inlets plus no outlets equals a Dead Sea. And I might say that in a person's life, many inlets and no outlets makes a very dead person. They're taking it all in. All of life is lived around what I can get, what I can take in, but not much is lived on what can come out. Now, Abraham was uniquely blessed. He was wealthy. He had 318 servants. He'll have a whole bunch of grandkids and great-grandkids, etc. But all that came into his life flowed out of his life. Some of you have been floundering about your own life, your own existence. You've kind of lived life like the whole world owes you something. That's the wrong focus. I would suggest beginning tonight, beginning here, and letting it trickle through the week and through the month, that you take a new strategy. And that is, ask yourself, how can my life become a blessing to others? Not how can others be a blessing to me? How can my life be a blessing for others? Change the focus. Not be so myopic, but look around. Famous psychiatrist Dr. Carl Menninger was asked, what would you do if you knew you were about to have a nervous breakdown? His answer was this: I'd go and find someone in worse condition than myself and try and help him. He knew that there was a cure in that. That there was a cure in focusing off myself and being a blessing to others. That actually happened. I heard a story of a young man named Eddie who was suicidal. Life wasn't going where he wanted. It wasn't what he expected. He decided to end his life by jumping off a bridge into a river below, which he did. A stranger named Jim saw him, reacted, jumped in after him to save him. The only problem is Jim wasn't a great swimmer. Eddie was a better swimmer than Jim, and where he landed, that is Jim, the stranger, Eddie saw him and knew that if he stayed in that condition, in that position, going downstream, he would be dead soon. Something was stirred in Eddie, and Eddie swam toward the stranger who came to save him, and Eddie, the suicidal guy, saved Jim. And from that moment on, changed his entire focus, brought him a sense of, well, hope and meaning in life. It changed his focus. We can get so immersed in our own troubles, in our own woes. We look inwardly when we should be looking outwardly. Publicly, Abraham was to be a blessing to the world. Outwardly, your life is to be a blessing to the world. Look at verse 18. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and notice this, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, if you put that verse together with the New Testament commentary on that verse, you understand that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed because the Messiah would come through the lineage of Abraham and the Jewish nation, not because the syphilis test was invented later on by a Jewish man or the DNA model came out. It was something more than that. It was in a salvatory sense, the Messiah would come. Listen to these words of Paul the Apostle in Romans 9. I tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, like Abraham, and from whom, according to the flesh, the Messiah has come, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen.
People enjoy watching or reading stories about heroes out to save the world. But as Christians, we get to live that adventure. We're here, quite literally, to save the world by sharing the gospel of Christ. Now, if that isn't a purpose that can inspire, then I don't know what is. I hope you've enjoyed our study so far, and if you'd like a copy of it, I'll tell you how to order one right after information about a resource we're offering this month that will help you put Halloween into the proper perspective. Here's more.
Your children are drowning. They're drowning in a flood of media. Today's youth have more ways to access more media anywhere, anytime. Just how is this deluge affecting our children? And just how much is the occult shaping today's entertainment? Shattered is a documentary that explores the influence of today's movies, video games, and music, and how the parents and the church can equip our children to make wise and discerning choices in our media-saturated society. Shattered explores these vital issues with experts such as Steve Russo, Lee Strobel, Bob Walacheski, and more. Hosted by Skip Heitzig, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media you can't miss. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And if you'd like a copy of the study from today, we'd be happy to send you one for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or when you visit connectionradio.org. As always, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue to bring you these daily programs, and also to get them into other countries around the world. So if you can share a little extra as a one-time donation, or would like to become a monthly supporter as a member of the Global Connectors, we always appreciate your financial and prayerful support. Just give us a call, 1-800-922-1888. 1888 to learn more, or visit us anytime at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
Continue to discover what God's purpose was for Abraham's life and for our own lives on our next program. So I hope you can set aside some time to join us here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.